And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another amazing episode of Voices from the Grid. I am joined by Pink Ranger Brian Massey.
Hey everybody, what's going on?
And I am the Eternal, the ever snarky Red Ranger Sasha Kaplan. And today we are tackling The Darkest Day, One Last Hope, and The Fall of the Phantom. If my voice gets a little scratchy, I apologize. I'm getting over a cold that morphed into something else. I don't know what, but I'm fine. Everything's fine. But my voice still gets a little raspy.
You and me both. I mean, we're both kind of, I just got over an illness, so I feel you.
That is an illness at the time of the recording of this episode, not an illness at the time of the airing of this episode.
Yeah.
Clear.
I hope I'm okay when this comes out. That'd be bad. Weird foreshadowing.
So anyway, today we're going to start with The Darkest Day. So I'll read the synopsis and then we'll jump straight into it. Deotox's brother, General Havoc, arrives from the depths of space, bringing with him a massive orbital battle station, the Space Base. Foreshadowing! His army of robot soldiers and his Zord, the Metallosaurus. Havoc succeeds in defeating and capturing the Turbo Megazord. So let's start with the fact that, let's start with Elgar trying to throw rocks at Cassie and TJ when they're hiking. Like, whose idea was that?
Whose idea was that? I'm sure
probably
it was
Elgar's.
Yeah. And the only joke I can really make about that is, like, do you remember that scene in Batman the Animated Series where, what was it? Was it Killer Croc was like, I threw a rock at him. It was a big rock. That's literally all I got.
Yeah, and those rocks do not look like real rocks at all.
Oh, the styrofoam from Hobby Lobby, baby.
Hey, now. I'm sure it's very secure cardboard, okay? But yeah, that was a pretty lame attempt to destroy the... That might be the lamest half... Like, the most, like, half-assed attempt to destroy the Rangers.
And I mean, like, it's kind of like at this point, you guys are, like, stalking them. You guys are tracking them down. Like, at what point do the Rangers just, like, go and get, like, a, you know, like a 50 feet away from me? Well, obviously, that's not the case. But, like, it's like... If you're going to attack me, just attack me. Quit, like, stalking me, you know?
So, meanwhile, Deotox is very distracted, and she doesn't hear the phone ring. And Rygog is like, hey, you have a phone call. And she's like, girl, I do not care. But this isn't... Now, did you notice something about Deotox before we get into everything?
Yes, I believe that she is now being played once again by Hillary Shepherd.
That is right. This is the first official episode of her back as Deotox. And what's interesting is that it actually took me like a couple minutes to notice. Because I think the way that both actresses played Deotox, they copied each other. So, you know, whatever Hillary had built, can't remember the other actress's name, she followed.
Was it Carol Hoyt?
Yes. Carol sort of mimicked and she did her own thing, but she tried to follow what Hillary had done previously. And so Hillary's continuing that momentum, which for like a little kid... Yeah, Deotox looks a little different, but Deotox doesn't feel different.
I'm not going to lie. I think Carol did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
She did a really good job, and it was almost to the point where, like, I just remember watching, and, like, I had to kind of go back and go, wait a minute, hold on. Oh, okay, yeah. And, like, I honestly couldn't tell, and, like, it was so seamless. It was just really well done. Like, I gotta give them props on that. Like, you know, Carol did a fantastic job keeping, like you said, the momentum going with Deotox, and then Hillary coming back as she was, I believe she was pregnant at the time, so she comes back, you know, having, you know, yeah, just created life, if you will, and then like gets right back to it. I'm like, that's impressive. That's really well done.
So because there's no like everything is week to week to week, right? So there's no, you know, all of the episodes air 1 week after another. There's not a lot of breaks.
Unless
Although
like they
it seems
announce like
like,
there's going to be like a period. I think because they used to do that. They used to do like blocks at a time and then they would go like a week or two without or something, but
what's
I could be
interesting
wrong.
is that based on this, there's like a week gap, a week or so less, 20, or like a 3 day gap between when time freezes over and then the darkest day. And then the darkest day, One Last Hope, The Fall of the Phantom, and Clash of the Megazords all aired. Sorry, no, there's a 2 day gap between One Last Hope and The Fall of the Phantom. And then The Fall of the Phantom and Clash of the Megazords aired back to back. On 2 different days. So that was Fall of the Phantom was tw the 25th, and then Clash of the Megazords was the 26th of 1987. So it's kind of weird. But anyway, so there's this, and then the Darkest Day and One Last Hope, there's a 1 day gap between them. But I wonder if Hillary had come back a little bit earlier and she had seen, you know, Carol doing diva talks. Because it would have made sense for her to kind of see what's been happening. Cause like again, as you said, everything got like it flowed really easily into each other. So props to both of them.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like if we bump into either of them at a convention anytime in the near future, we should absolutely ask that question. I think that's a really good question. Because I don't know if that's something that's on like behind the scenes DVD or something. I'm sure that that's been asked like once or twice before, but like I would love to like hear it and like maybe have that on recording sometime. So for the future.
This is the real questions, the real heart of what VFTG is for, asking the random questions no one else does.
Yes.
So anyway, so Diva Talks gets this phone call, but she doesn't answer the phone, and then her brother, General Havoc, appears. And he brings with him this massive battle station that I guess Diva Talks had asked him to build. Did I understand that right?
Yes, I think she and she had kind of commissioned something, and I guess she had forgotten about it.
Well, it was
So,
100 years ago.
yeah.
So tell me,
Mean,
yeah, go ahead.
I do wonder how fast 100 years flies. Because how old is Diva Talks again? Because like, if she's old enough, then like 100 years could easily just be like a week to her or something. You know what I mean? Anyways.
Oh, so according to the wiki, because all question answers. Diva Talks was adopted. We knew that. She was also in a relationship with a pharaoh, and they became engaged. But pharaoh called the engagement off and left her on at the altar. 900 years later, she ordered a space base from her brother, General Havoc. So I wonder if it's just like in Earth years versus non-Earth years, kind of a thing.
And so if we're talking, she ordered it 100 years ago, and this is taking place in 1996, and that means that was 1896. Add on the, so she's like 1,200 or something
Probably
at
yes.
least.
Looking good. Looking good, Diva Talks.
I mean, looking way better than I ever will if I'm like 1,000 years old.
So let's start with what are your thoughts on General Havoc when he is first? We'll get to like thoughts at the end of like the episode of what we think about General Havoc, but what's the first impression of General Havoc for you?
I thought that he was made of spare pieces from the Machine Empire. Like it looked like he had like King Mondo's crown possibly, and that was adapted into a mask or something by the Car Ranger staff over in Japan. I thought he seemed like a, I don't know, he seemed competent, which is something that's been sorely lacking from the villains this time around.
He came prepared with like this cool space base, and then they go to the space base, and it looks, what does it look like?
Well, from the outside, like when it's like phasing in and out, it kind of looks like that base from what was it, Time Force? Or I can't remember. It kind of looks like something very similar from like a later season that we'll get into when we get into that. But it looked kind of, maybe it was, hold on, no, I think it was in space, if I'm being completely honest with you, which would make sense. But like that footage is cool, but then like I don't know,
Can I be
like
honest? It sort of looks like a Borg cube that never got to be a Borg cube.
It looks like a Borg sphere.
It looks like a rejected Borg cube because it was not an efficient design and the collective rejected it.
I'm just imagining like this Borg sphere, and it's like there's like a giant space cat that's batting it around, and it's like, we are the Borg. We're hey, stop it. Stop it. What are you doing?
Or
Like
even
batting it
better.
around.
All right, I got another one. It is a sphere that the Borg refused to assimilate because it was that lame.
Wow. I mean, like the set itself was like super dark and not well lit, and it just seemed like they took bits and pieces from like and again, this is just like me recalling it. It feels like they took bits and pieces from Lord Zedd's set and were like repurposing it, which is why they have a balcony, which is why they have like, this, that, the other. Like, I don't know.
Well, according to the wiki, it was the base of the villain for the villains of Car Ranger, which is the Sentai that Turbo's based on. Look at me pulling out Sentai facts.
Oh my God, you're pulling out Sentai facts now? Oh God, I'm
Ranger
useless here.
wiki.
I might as well just go home. Like nobody
No,
else
no,
wants to
no.
bring
We still need you, Brian, because I will never
it.
actually. I can never sit through Sentai.
I'll get you someday.
So, all right, so we talked about the base. Bulk, before we get to the plot of this episode, Bulk and Skull have an interesting new shtick, which lasts
Yeah.
for more than one episode. What do we think of this?
Well, it's kind of funny because I remember watching that because I wasn't super familiar. Like, just in case anybody's listening to this and they haven't heard my spiel on Turbo, just a little bit of, reiteration. I kind of quit watching Turbo around the time that Jason David Frank left. So I didn't really watch these episodes. Where TJ takes over. So I didn't see this. Now, what's kind of funny is this is a monster tour. This is like a what is that, a monster sighting tour that they're running. And like Lieutenant's, this is what's hilarious about this is it's Lieutenant Stone's brainchild of all things. It's not, you would think it's Bulk and Skull's idea, but no, it's actually Lieutenant Stone's.
Lieutenant Stone, because I have a follow-up question for you once you're done.
Okay. So something I think is kind of funny about this is like they're touring different sites, where it's like, oh yeah, these monsters showed up, and like, you'll see a Power Ranger and you'll see like a monster and all this stuff. And what's kind of funny, just a little bit of, inside baseball is they actually offer a tour like this kind of sort of at Power Morphicon. Bruno from MMPR Toys did a really good video where like you hop on a bus. He hopped on a bus and they did a tour of California where it's like, here's where they filmed. And it's kind of like what Bulk and Skull are doing in this episode. Where it's like, this is the lake where like a spaceship landed. And like, I love the context where it's like, yeah, no, we all saw that spaceship, dude. What are you talking about? Like, come on, where are the Rangers? Rada, 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 rada. I thought it was a cool idea. And I thought it was cool that they were referencing stuff like that because it's like they're dropping names like iGuy and Pudgy Pig. And it's like, oh, well, I'm glad that they know the names of those monsters. I don't know how they know the names of those monsters, but it's cool that they're like name dropping them. I think it's a cool idea, and I'm kind of shocked it took them this long to do it.
So then let me ask you my Lieutenant Stone question. Because there's a point where we get to the water
Yes.
and we have some name drops of previous monsters like Pudgy Pig and everything. But then they start talking about a spaceship landing in the lake. And then Lieutenant Stone shows up and is like, this is nonsense. Let me ask you this. Lieutenant Stone has seen monsters, right? We know these monsters are from outer space because, Rita, Pallas on Earth, we've all seen that. Okay. So we know that aliens and monsters exist. We know that monsters come from outside of the Earth to some extent to attack Angel Grove, nowhere else in the world but Angel Grove. So then, why is an alien spaceship landing in a lake far-fetched?
Right.
This is like a thing with him a lot.
Maybe he's trying to hold on to his sanity. I really don't know. I feel like that's the only logical thing. I was trying to do some mental gymnastics on this, and I was thinking like, well, maybe Bulk and Skull somehow, some way remember the Alien Rangers arriving, because what was it? I think they had some ships that landed in that particular lake, if I remember
I think
correctly.
it was Zivatok's ship. I think they saw it
It
at the
was Diva.
beginning of the season
Okay.
landing on Earth. I could be
Gotcha.
misremembering, but I think that's.
That very well could be it, because I remember their like her Futurama ass looking ship just popped out of the water and like whatever. I was going back to like, well, Lieutenant Stone was a kid and maybe he doesn't remember, but somehow Bulk and Skull kind of. But then I was like, nah, that wouldn't work, because like Bulk and Skull don't remember the events of Alien Rangers either. So yeah, okay.
I mean,
So
between I think Ben and I have talked a lot about, and I think we all have about how just like frustrating Lieutenant Stone is at times.
yes, it you live in Monsteropolis. It's kind of like living near Area 51 and like being like, oh, all that alien stuff, like that's never gonna make any money. It's like, dude, you live in Area 51. You live in Roswell. Like, this is the
You
thing people come
just
here to
to
see.
clarify, Roswell and Area 51 are two separate locations.
Right. Well, sorry. My bad.
Just for those that are geographically challenged that might be listening,
To be fair, it's been a long time since I've done some deep diving on like, UFO, little green alien men stuff. So I apologize for getting those two confused. And anybody who's a avid X-Files fan, I apologize.
Yes, this
But
will be the name of Brian's new podcast, Roswell Area 51.
Roswell Area 51. Who cares what the difference is? It was. It's kind of like being like at Roswell and not leaning into the alien thing. It's like and also you're running a monster business where like this is your meat and potatoes. This is what's going to get you paid, and you're going to sit there in front of the people who are paying to see this and say, oh, that's ridiculous. That's like being a wrestling promoter and being like, you know, it's fake, right? You know, the wrestling's fake. They're not actually hurting each other. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
There
It's
is also like a little bit of a running gag throughout these three episodes revolving Bulk and Skull that we'll get to at the end. But it does involve something that you just brought up. So don't let me forget about it.
I'll try not to.
So
Bulk and
let's
Skull get.
talk about General Havoc's plan. What is his plan? And how does he accomplish it? Because he's got some cool tricks up his sleeve.
Well, he wants. I feel like his plan was multifaceted, and he was kind of like revealing his hand as we were watching the episode, because it's not entirely as, it's not like he's making this grandstand where it's like, first I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that, and then the world. He's not doing that. He's like,
He's being a little bit more subtle.
His plan obviously involves the Phantom Ranger, who Divatox is just such a fan of. And
Wait. Time out, time out. We're not, the Phantom Ranger comes later.
fair
That's not
enough.
this episode. Don't get too far ahead. I have questions
I
about
apologize.
that.
I apologize. Somehow, some way, he's somehow, some way, he has set it up so that the Rangers just take L after L after L, and that includes the Turbo Megazord being kidnapped and like basically like almost destroyed.
Yeah, it's basically rendered, well, essentially he kidnaps the Megazord and ends up using his, like, at the end of the episode, or at, I guess the beginning of the next episode, we find out that he used the technology of the Megazord to adapt his, what was it called, Metellosaurus?
It's
That's a
yeah, I rolled
mouthful.
this multiple times. It's Metallus. It oh my
It's a
God.
Metallosaurus. It's like for comic book
Yeah.
fans, it's like Metallo and a dinosaur smushed together.
Fair enough.
Actually, speaking of that, what do you think about the Metallosaurus's design? Is it reminiscent of anything? Does it look ridiculous? Does it look very
Okay.
Japanese?
It looks very Japanese. You know what it reminds me of? Do you know that King Ghidorah meme where it's like the two serious heads and then the goofy head? It looks like Serpentera with a derp face. That's kind of what it looks like. It looks like it's a little more upright and it's got a kind of a derp face. And also there's a seat in its forehead where Havoc can sit and control it, because why not?
We like
I
it
mean,
when the bad guys get their Zords. It looks cool.
yeah, I don't know if this ever got a toy release, at least in the US either. I don't remember seeing something like that. At least not like a Zord. I don't remember seeing a Zord of that. But yeah, this thing comes in and like just stomps the Rangers and like basically renders the Turbo Megazord inoperable, and like it like to the moon with it. And like damn. Like
And then, so what's interesting is also is that our bad guy has some minions. He has like he has his own Piranatrons, basically, that are not Piranatrons. Did you notice anything about his minions?
They were multicolored.
They were multicolored. Is there anything? They are the basically, do you remember there was a bad guy a few episodes ago? That had he was like a shapeshifter or something, and he had that same basic design. The one that who was it? Elgar married?
Did I review that episode? I can't remember.
I think we did. Well,
It was either me or Mike. I can't remember. I don't remember Elgar getting married.
it might not have been Elgar, but I'm pretty sure it was Elgar.
Huh.
This is the problem of so many Power Rangers episodes that it sometimes life is difficult.
So what you're saying is they repurposed that mask and they attached it to some minions.
Yes.
That's a fairly common trope in Tokusatsu. Like, it saves some money.
Hey, if you've got it, flaunt it. If you're gonna,
Yeah,
if you
Kamen
have
Rider
it,
does
use
that
it.
all the time.
But yeah, I like the Metallosaurus design. It actually looks intimidating. Especially in like later episodes when we get like a little bit more of like a closer look at it.
I will admit, the power-ups do make it look a little more menacing, but I stand by. Yeah, it looks a little derpy from like a distance,
Oh yeah.
and also I don't know if this was a reference or not, but like it just seemed like with the Sentai footage of it, where like all the noticeably like Japanese people are running around in the foreground, it seemed like that footage was way more like fuzzy, and I was like, is that like was that Car Ranger like making fun of Godzilla, kind of sort of, or doing an homage to that? Because that's kind of what that feels like, but I could be wrong. This isn't the Car Ranger podcast, obviously, but that's kind of something I picked up on, was like, man, that footage is way fuzzier than even like the Car Ranger stuff.
I found the answer to my question.
You did.
So, and this was an episode that you and I reviewed.
Ah, okay.
It was the first, this is the one that appeared in Shadow Rangers. That's the one with all of the fun shadow shenanigans that didn't make any sense. He's
Yeah.
called the Shadow Chromite. And
Oh, that guy. Wow. Okay, wow, that was like beginning of the season.
that well, not
Holy.
the beginning of the season, but that was definitely the beginning of the Phantom Ranger saga, right?
Yeah. I think so. Wait a minute. I'm confusing
Oh
that
no,
with
you're
the.
right. It was at the beginning of the season. That was like episode
I want to say it was episode
four.
two or four. Yeah, okay. That makes more sense, because like That was that one where, like, I think Aisha was working at the radio station and couldn't
Yes.
find the bomb on the radio tower, which was
Maybe.
like right there. See that episode for my rant on that.
I don't know. Anyway, all of our misadventures and misremembering aside, let's get back to this episode. So it's interesting because we don't know why they decide to kidnap the Zord at the end of this episode. We'll find out the next episode. But my gut reaction was like, you're stealing it? Like you should just destroy it because they're going to get it back because they're Power Rangers. But that doesn't
Right.
happen as we find out later. The last scene in this episode is kind of dumb. Because it's basically the Rangers are like, this is a big L for them. Right? So they've lost their Megazord. They're up against this new bad guy who has this cool Zord that they don't know how to fight now because they don't have a Zord. And the Phantom Ranger shows up. And he's like, don't despair, Rangers. I may have a solution to your Zord problem. And Carl's like, okay, let's go. He goes, oh, no. It will all be revealed when the time is right. And I'm like, why?
Because the and I almost wanted them to be like, because the to be continued sign's gonna about show up right now. Dun, dun,
But
dun,
like,
dun, dun,
I noticed in these three episodes in particular, there's some like awkward dialogue. When they are using, you caught that too?
And also, and I hate to say this, but like Selwyn Ward, like he is acting like him and Carlos's actors are like just wow, they are really distraught that the Megazord is gone, guys. Wow.
Took that to like bad direction. Because he's better
probably.
in other episodes. I think this was just that, like, whoever the director was for this episode, just like maybe was wanted something specific for the scene and it just didn't work because he didn't communicate it well. But but
I
yeah,
don't know.
so
I'm just saying that was the take they went with. That's all I'm saying.
I think some of the other awkward moments were when they're actually doing the dubbing of the Sentai footage. We'll see that in the next episode, but like I can't get over I think there is a point where Roger Velasco actually overdubbed his original lines for the episode. And I think one of those lines is at the end because they just sounded very different from the rest of it. But I'm still questioning the writing here. Like they could have said something like the Phantom Ranger could have said like, hey guys, I have a lead on a potential solution, but I don't want to get your hopes up if it's nothing. So I'm going to go and find it, but I just wanted to let you know that like I'm on your side. Don't give up. I have like there might be something there. But
Yeah, like instead of just being there like dangling a carrot in front of them, like no, hold on. Like George Clooney with that, what is it, like the espresso thing or whatever. It's like you gotta wait for it. It's like, what are you talking about? Like it's a really bad reference, sorry, but like it just, you're absolutely right. They could have totally written that to be more like, hey, we have a lead, but like we're still working on this. Like instead of just like, whoa, hold on,
well, because
take your time here.
we want the Phantom Ranger to be mysterious.
Yeah, he knows something that we don't
He
know.
knows.
He
Which begs
knows.
the question of like you could have literally ended the episode without the Rangers, and actually could have rewritten it to be just the Phantom Rangers stumbling in the tunnels, going like, I found it. The answer to the Rangers' problem, something like that, and just cut it there. But no one's asking us to write Power Rangers.
Literally anything but what we got, because all it does is go, oh, well then what's the hurry up then? You're taking all the wind out of the sails on that.
Nope.
It's like the Megazord is up on the moon, or like the space, I'm sorry, space.
Say that
Maybe
five
the
times fast.
Megazord, space, Megazord, space, Megazord, space, Megazord, space, Megazord, space, Megazord, space, Ugh. It just, it's not
So
even.
on that note, let's get into the follow-up episode because this like could have easily, I think, been like a two or three parter, because of how the stories blend into each other and call it like the Havoc trilogy, the Havoc saga. But anyway, so One Last Hope is the 27th episode. And it is written by Judd Lynn and directed by Steve Markowitz, who also directed the previous episode. But the previous episode was written by John Fletcher. So to defeat the Metallosaurus, the Phantom Ranger gives the Power Rangers a fleet of new Rescue Zords. And this will not be the last time we hear the words Rescue Zords. And transported into action by the Phantom Ranger's own Zord Artillatron. La 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 la. That's a mouthful. Artillatron. So like the artillery and Tron, but whatever. So this episode actually starts with the revelation that the Phantom Ranger and General Havoc know each other, or General Havoc knows the Phantom Ranger. Demetria, meanwhile, is like being super nice to the Rangers and is like, Divatox can take your Megazords, but she cannot take away your freedom. I mean, courage. And my reaction is like, well, at least she's not, at least she never went back to the whole, I know we made fun of her earlier for it, but we're glad she's not doing everything with a question now. But
That was
also,
literally
like,
my second, thing on my notes was like, thank God she's not asking questions anymore all the time.
but then at the same time, I kind of wish in that moment she did, because her solution is like, Divatox can't take away your courage. And like, well, courage doesn't mean much when a giant monster robot steps on you.
A courage is going to protect me from this giant like footprint that I'm going to be embossed into. Sure, thank you.
There's also a really funny moment that I think is just like bad writing. I don't know if you caught it, but the General Havoc is in the Metallosaurus. I do like the sound of Metallosaurus. It's a cool name to say.
Sounds like a
And
metal band from the 80s or something.
it does.
We are
And
Metallosaurus. Thank you, Cleveland.
yes,
Anyways.
their opening act was the Artillatron, and they were not as good.
I
So
mean, hey, Artillatron sucks, man. I'm here for a Metallosaurus. Those guys suck.
co a concert later, we return to Power Rangers with so the Rangers are like trying to track the Zord, the Metallosaurus, and General Havoc is jamming their signals, and they're like, we can't track him. And I'm like, guys, I Angel Grove is not that big of a city that you can't spot a giant robot. Just a thought.
This feels like a plot convenience, I guess, or something that we're just gonna ignore that for now, because it's kind of funny because there's actually, it's funny that they even mentioned that, because I believe in this episode, Bulk and Skull mention, hey, or Lieutenant Stone mentions, hey, this building has the best view of Angel Grove in the city. You'll be able to see everything from here. And it's like, if they can see out of a office window the thing, then why can't the Rangers just like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, look at the Rangers and their advanced technology, but do not have eyes, apparently. But this is also like one of those little moments where you can tweak the dialogue just ever so slightly, where you could say, like, oh, he's jamming the communication and he's taunting us. And then like his face appearing on the screen makes a little bit more sense. But I digress.
I think something that would make it a little more fun is like, because the Rangers don't have the Megazords, they don't have that additional protection from the Metalsaurus. So they're reluctant to go out there and find it, and like they're trying to use technology, but it's being jammed. So like then they get taunted, and it's like, well, you know, we're risking a lot by going out of the command center and trying to track it down, but somebody's got to do it. And Alpha can just be like, yo, Rangers, what are you doing? And it's like, shut up,
Lord.
Alpha.
His
God.
voice is like, okay, it's not even his voice itself that's the problem. It's the accent. It's like, did
Yeah.
you grow up in the suburbs of Brooklyn? No, shut up.
Oh my
Like
Lord.
I don't understand where this voice came from or why he's still talking like this.
I don't know.
I've been rewatching The Nanny, so that is why that just came out.
I love it. Love friend Drescher. But like God, you're right. There I've one more pass with the script on like either of these past two episodes, and it would have made a little more sense, I think.
Yeah. I also forgot to mention that in The Darkest Day, which is like a really weird name for the episode because it means nothing. There's a scene where TJ says, "We're gonna need the turbo," and it cuts off. The turbo what? Turbo blaster? Turbo saber? Turbo inflatable boat?
The turbo shark repellent? Like, I don't know. Like,
All right. So
I'm
they
glad
get
you got that, by the
attacked
way.
by the Piranatrons, and something interesting happens. The Piranatrons have some cool music.
I felt like I had heard this before. I don't know if the Piranatrons co-opted something from the Tenga or Tengu, if you will, but
Ron Wasserman, tell us your secrets. I will get, I think it's funny though, because the song is not pro Piranatron. It's actually like anti-Piranatron.
Yeah.
I should go back and like read through the lyrics, but I remember looking and like, this is a cool, you know, Ron Wasserman, you know, musical number here, but it's like not like it's sort of like making fun of the Piranatrons, which is very easy to do.
At least they don't look as dumb as they did in the movie.
I don't even remember anymore. The movie has like, I remember the movie existed. And I remember a few select scenes from that movie, but for some reason the Piranatron just disappeared.
They had the half mask with like the makeup and stuff, and the faces were actually visible on the actor. It
Yeah,
was
nope,
bad.
can't remember.
It was
It's
bad.
gone.
Anyways.
There are some things my brain does not want me to hold on to, and I'm okay with that.
Useless information out that ear, more information in this one.
Okay, so they're in the middle of this fight. And for some reason, the Phantom Ranger picks now to show up and he's like, "Hey, we gotta go now." And they're like, "But city in danger, evil robot." He's like, "No, we have to go. You have to trust me. You can't just tell them I found Zords, let's go." Like, why does he show up right now? Like, yes, because the power of plot convenience, but they easily in the previous episode could have established that, like, "Hey guys, I have a lead on something. I will come get you when I find it." Right? So then him coming back in the middle of the battle going like, "Hey guys, I found some Zords." Or like, "I found something that can help you defeat the Metallosaurus," would have taken like not a lot of time.
No, that could have easily been a communicator message. That could have easily been just like, you know, yeah. And also like I love how he shows up and like doesn't help with the actual fight. Like, dude, okay, awesome.
But also, we find out in this episode that he has his own Zord, which he could have used to, like, I don't know, keep the Metallosaurus at bay and send the Rangers the coordinates for their new Zords.
Here's, by the way, real fast, here's how much here's how out of loop I am with Turbo. I honestly didn't realize that that was his Zord.
Yeah, because they don't tell you.
Yeah. I've seen that on like multiple like toy collector shelves, and I'm like, that's really cool. I wish I had something like that because I don't have any of the Turbo Zords. I had no idea that that was the Phantom Ranger Zord. I honestly thought that was some kind of like carrier unit.
Wait a minute. Was it? Oh no, never mind. That was the Blue Centurion, not the Phantom Ranger. Because there's a point, or because the Phantom Ranger had a ship, right?
Yeah, he has a ship.
But this is not the ship. This is the Zord.
Yes.
So where was the Zord? Was it like, is it like a case of like the ship was bigger on the inside? Or did it like, was it like buried under the ground with the rescue Zords? Because like I have questions.
Maybe it was buried with the rescue Zords. I don't know. It's like I'm sitting here trying to rack my brain around that, and it's like, because I'm sitting there going like, well, you know, Pyramidus, but at least like the Gold Ranger showed up with Pyramidus. Like this thing comes out of nowhere, and like the Phantom Ranger showed up in his ship. So it's like, where did the like did he co-opt this thing? Like, yeah, oh, this one's mine now. Like, what? I'm confused.
I am too. And there's one other reason to be confused. So he takes the Rangers down to the ye olde and abandoned Angel Grove tunnels. And
Hopefully they
there's.
don't bump into the ranger or the turtles there.
And so they there's like a wall with some writing on it. There's no analysis for this wall. And he blasts this and it doesn't work. And so then the Rangers blast it. And then we don't find out what happens. Because then it cuts to Diva Talks. And then I think it cuts to Alpha and Demetria. Because only then after that, so like I will be honest, I was like watching it while doing something else, but I saw the Zord show up and I'm like, wait a minute. So I rewound it back to that last scene with the Rangers, thinking I had missed a scene, and I
You had
hadn't.
not. You had not missed a thing.
What do you think about this situation?
There's a couple of possible explanations. Maybe when in the Car Ranger footage they saw these things, it was too goofy or something, or there was a character that was only Sentai related that like showed them, because I don't know. There's all kinds of really goofy stuff that they cut out of Car Ranger. That could be the explanation for it. Or maybe they just wanted to speed it up because like they had so much stuff they needed to tell in three episodes. I don't know. I'll tell you what kind of upsets me though is like the quest that rain the different ranger teams have gone on at this point to find other Zords, and it's like these ones are like the most powerful ones, and like, you know, hearing all the lore behind like the Shogun Megazord, and then like all the power behind like the Zeo Megazord and the Super Megazord and like Pyramidus and all that stuff. And now we're being told these, not the Turbo Megazord, but this Megazord, the Rescue Megazord, is the most powerful Megazord ever. And it's like lying underneath like in a sewer somewhere. It's like just randomly just sitting there.
This is yet another set of Zords that just mysteriously exists. Maybe this is the one Billy, maybe this is the set of Zords that Billy was working on.
Maybe at which at this point that right there, if the rumor had been true and the Phantom Ranger was in fact Billy, that would have made way more sense.
Yeah, but at the same time, why then? Like, one of the challenges of the Phantom Ranger, and we can discuss this more at the end of the episode, is the fact that like we never actually find out anything about him. And they really don't give us a good reason for why he has to be all mysterious.
You know, like, were they trying to do a redo on like the Gold Ranger kind of sorta, where it was like, oh well, we wanted him to be super mysterious, but like we eventually had to tell his story, so this time we're just gonna make it so like he's constantly in
Yeah,
the
but the
suit.
difference with the Gold Ranger saga was that there were enough plants. There were enough sort of like what's the there was enough red herrings
Red
essentially,
herring.
right? To make us question who, to give us options as to who the Phantom Ranger is. Our only options are Balkan Skull and Lieutenant Stone. So unlikely, unless it was one of the really random bad acting kids from like Justin's like adventures. But anyway.
It was one of the greaser actors from that really crappy West Side Story episode that we watched.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you think this should have been a two-parter or a three-parter? We can discuss if it should have been a three-parter at the end, but now I want to know if it should have been a two-parter.
It's funny because typically I have a really strong opinion about whether or not an episode, like a set of episodes, should or should not have been a three-parter or a two-parter. But like, as disjointed as a lot of this stuff is, I don't know.
That's fair.
I don't know. And like, it's weird that like that's my answer because like I want to say definitively yes or no, but like I honestly don't know. I feel like, because this doesn't really feel like a trilogy necessarily. I mean, yes, there's an overarching plot line here where it's like thing happens and whatnot, but like I would argue that the Turbo Megazord plot goes even further past this trilogy of episodes. So it doesn't feel like there's a huge resolve there because like there's still like stuff to anticipate in that fourth episode, coming up, which you'll be listening to that soon enough. But like we still don't know at the end of that third episode, what the fate of the Turbo Megazord is going to be. And so I guess in a way, I guess it could have been a three-parter. I feel like sure, but it doesn't necessarily feel like I
It's
don't
it,
I
yeah,
really
no, that's okay. That's fair.
I'm trying to make an argument and I don't know what for.
That's a good question. So, any other last thoughts on One Last Hope, which again, these episode titles don't really fit into the episode itself, which is like, like Phantom Phenomenon was the introduction of the Phantom Ranger, so it makes sense it would be called Phantom Phenomenon. But like the Darkest Day was like it was unfortunate, but like I guess it was the Darkest Day because they lost as Rangers to General Havoc. But
Yeah,
like
I feel like if you name an episode The Darkest Day and it's not like that episode where the Megazord in MMPR is suffering from like an eclipse or something, like then I don't know, like that doesn't feel like The Darkest Day to me. It's like, oh no, our Megazord got kidnapped and taken to not the moon. Well, truly the Darkest Day scene. I don't know. It's just that doesn't really feel like the stakes are high, but it doesn't feel like those are the highest stakes that the Rangers overall have dealt with just yet. I mean, like maybe this team of Rangers, sure, but like I don't know. I will say, the Rescue Megazords feel like a precursor to the Lightspeed Rescue Zords.
I also had that thought, yeah.
I love how that footage is shot, like the Sentai footage is shot where like it combines and they're in the cockpit and it zooms back and like you can see Tokyo, sorry, Angel Grove. It feels like I love the design of like the Red Zord and how like the back of it kind of comes up and like does one of these things where it like folds the back, like exhaust ports kind of fold forward and that kind of becomes like the front facing. It's a really cool looking Megazord and I'm sad that it's not in my collection because I have a giant collection of Megazords, both Japanese and American, and I'm still buying them and like that needs to go on my list, that and the Delta Megazord from In Space. But anyways, That's a really cool looking Megazord. I think it looks cooler than the Turbo Megazord, honestly. And I think it was a really cool design. Also, Vulcan Skull wasting all that food.
They were so excited about the cafeteria on whatever floor it was on.
Floor 48, I want to say.
Sure.
I think there's a note here. Yes. And all that food, and like I don't know what drink it was. Like, was that like a milkshake or a coffee or something that they were trying to run back and
Milkshake. It
rescue?
was a milkshake.
It was a milkshake. Okay, that looked like a really good milkshake. I'm not gonna lie, kind of looked like a pumpkin spice milkshake or something, or a coffee. I don't know. Anyways, it didn't seem necessarily out of character, but I was like, you guys are running a monster. You guys are running a monster tour. You've seen this stuff a billion times, and you're gonna like buckle under pressure because giant scary robot is outside and you're gonna waste all that food.
In their defense, the building does get broken in half and they end up falling. And if it hadn't been for Ash, was it Ashley's Zord? I
I
think
think
it
it
was
was
Ashley's
Ashley's Zord,
Zord,
yeah.
which I actually thought was really cool because her Zord was able to just like catch the building essentially from falling. And then she put it on Carlos's rescue Zord's truck bed. So I thought that was really cool. So like, even if they weren't gonna waste the food was gonna end up all over the place anyway because they were in the build part of the
I
building
mean
that fell.
that's fair. I'm just saying I could go for a burger right now. That's all I'm saying. But
Poor Vulcan
anyways,
Skull. This is like
yeah.
this could have been their like this could have been their job, like giving tours, talking about monsters. But I wonder like at what point do you just get like desensitized by all of the monsters and be like, oh, is there another monster attacking the abandoned warehouse district? Okay, I guess we're not going for that drive.
I mean, Home Depot can wait. I'll just go on my phone.
This is the 90s. You don't go on your phone.
I'll just dial them up with this catalog number.
There you go. All
Yeah.
right. So the final
Get
episode
off
that
the
we're
internet. I'm trying to call the depot.
going
Your 56K is killing me. I'm trying to
cue
call the
dial-up music.
depot.
All right. So on that note, we're gonna go to the last episode,
Yeah, let's do it.
The Fall of the Phantom. So, in need of a power source to energize the stolen Turbo Megazord. I guess they forgot its AAA. They forgot its charger at the Power Ranger base.
Yeah.
Divatox plans to steal the Phantom Ranger's Power Ruby, which we've never heard of
Ooh.
until this point. To get close enough to it, Divatox and General Havoc exploit Cassie's fixation on the Phantom Ranger, leading to her capture in hopes of luring him out. So first of all, it's not a fixation. Girl's got a little crush. It's okay. Second of all, poor Cassie.
Yeah. I do feel bad for her in this episode.
So the episode opens on the fact that Cassie is like studying, has to study for an exam, but tried to get Miss Appleby to
Applebee.
like take it at a later date because she's been busy with stuff. And Principal Kaplan was like, yeah, no, you're just gonna take it with everybody else. Like, that's not valid. I'm like, girl, you couldn't have made something up. Like, food banks, charity auctions,
Clean up the park,
Yeah.
or I don't know. Let's see. I think Kimberly and Trini left a giant list of all the things that they did back in the day that you could steal an idea from.
But Rangers shouldn't lie, even though they technically lie to everyone they've ever met. It's fine. It's fine.
It's
So I
fine.
do
It's totally
think it's.
fine. It's not fine. It's not fine at all. I'm super annoyed with
So
it.
I know that they play up this whole Cassie and the Phantom Ranger stuff, but I actually think she has really good chemistry with TJ. Like they're often like, despite the fact that all of the Rangers are friends, right? They spend a lot of time together outside of the group, right? Like they went hiking together. And like part of that is because like, they met on the bus to Angel Grove and like they became besties and they rescued Tommy together, whatever. Even though Cassie was like not interested in doing any of that, and but like they bonded over this experience, and so I find it interesting that like they really push this whole Cassie and Phantom Ranger stuff, which clearly doesn't go anywhere, and will not go anywhere when like there's Cassie and TJ being like BFFs and doing stuff together.
It's kind of hard to initiate a romantic interest or like kind of like a meet cute when you don't even know what the person you're crushing about's face looks like.
All attraction has to be about physical attraction, you know?
Get that, but like if I'm gonna crush over somebody, I don't know, at some point, I'm not saying it needs to be like immediate, but like, you know, I kind of want to see what your face looks like, but whatever, that's just me.
That does not work in all cultures. But I
That's
will
fair.
say it is like we're never really given a good explanation about why he can't tell them anything about who he is.
I'm dark and brooding and mysterious and.
Like they're really trying to give us this mysterious Phantom Ranger, but it's not working very well.
To tell you anything about my past, Lupita, basically make me not exist.
Okay, this is giving me some Dark Knight flashbacks and not in a good way, so we're gonna move on.
Okay, sorry.
You're fine. I'm making jokes at your expense. That's all.
Please do. That's why I'm here. I'm just like dark brooding. Oh, no one can know my identity. It's like, okay, dude.
So Cassie gets a note being all mysterious like, meet me in the park, girl. And she's like, oh, it's the Phantom
Girl.
Ranger, which granted, that was my first thought too. You're supposed to think it's the Phantom Ranger. And then when she arrives, you see the Phantom Ranger hiding behind the bushes. But it turns out not to be the Phantom Ranger. It turns out to be General Havoc and his gang. And so they kidnap Cassie and they tell the Rangers, like, give us the Phantom Ranger or Cassie gets it. And they're like, but we don't know where the Phantom Ranger is. And they're like, well, this message is for the Phantom Ranger. You gotta come or Cassie gets it. I'm like, all right. I mean, like, it makes sense for the Phantom Ranger to come. Like, him and Cassie was the first to spot him, first to meet him. Like, they have this bond, whether it's romantic or not. They have, like, this, like, there's something there, whatever it is.
Sure.
So the Rangers go to Cassie, and this is where, like, my question came from about TJ and Cassie, because TJ seems, like, the most upset when they think Cassie's dead. Like they're upset, but like TJ's a little extra upset, and that could have just been, you know, good acting.
Yeah.
But then the Phantom Ranger shows up kind of too late, but also not too late, I guess.
He shows up and he's like, "Don't worry, I can help save the day," because he's got the power ruby, which is coming out of his chest, which a lot of people who collect the Lightning Collection figures are like, "Where? There's a plug for that in his chest on the figure. Why isn't that there? Whatever. I collect action figures. You don't. I get it."
No. I'm not that was not my reaction. My reaction was like because they never the power boost shows up for what, 2 episodes?
I mean, yeah, it's I honestly didn't even notice it until like they made a point where it's like Divatox was like, "I want that ruby." I didn't even realize that was a thing. I just thought it
Yep.
was a cool looking tokusatsu thing. But like what's really interesting about this is like Havoc doesn't just do a swerve. Havoc does a double swerve. Because he Phantom Ranger obviously cares a lot about Cassie. There's something there, and like he's trying to save Cassie, brings Cassie back, and then Cassie turns into Havoc and teleports the Phantom Ranger, and it's like, oh, well. Now they have Cassie and the Phantom Ranger and the Ruby. And I was like, okay, crap. I mean, I wasn't expecting that. Honestly, that was a kind of a genuine swerve. I don't know if it was like a well-written swerve, but it was definitely a swerve I was not expecting. How about you?
No, I guess I didn't like it's it just like didn't click. don't know. These episodes were kind of weird and in some ways blended together so much that like I don't know, but I appreciated the fact that at least General Havoc got a little bit more like theatrical and more like equal to Diva Talks. Because in his first appearance, he's like, my queen, and yes, my queen. And I'm like, when did she become a queen? She's also technically your sister. This is a little weird.
Yeah.
But I don't
It's not how siblings talk, even if they're royalty. I'm sorry.
know. Aliens are weird. Look at how Rita talked to her dad.
See season three. Yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question, but so we teased the Oh, so there comes a point. So, you know, obviously the General Havoc gets the ruby, and he kidnaps the Phantom Ranger, and so Cassie and the Phantom Ranger are kidnapped at the same time. And we are so close to finding out who the Phantom Ranger is. Like, Cassie, you couldn't have broken free from the minions like 2 seconds later? Like, come on. But also, like, would the reveal of the Phantom Ranger have really given us anything?
I feel like if it was a returning character, yes. If it was just some random that they cast, maybe not. Because I feel like the Phantom Ranger works better if like it's either like I don't know. It feels like had this been like I don't know. And I'm just throwing this out there because like a lot of people have said like David Yost, but like I don't know, maybe even like a returning like Walter Jones or something. Or this, that, the I like I feel like that would have been like way more like, oh wow, okay, holy crap. Like, but then again, I don't know. Like I
Well, I
this
think
guy
part
comes
of
from space. He's gonna be I don't know. I feel like who it's almost like V for Vendetta. It's like it doesn't really matter who the person behind the mask is. It's the mask itself. It's the identity that this person is. It's like, okay, so I'm the Phantom Ranger and this is well,
because
even then
like
I'm like
Because so we run into the issue where I think they wrote themselves into a corner a little bit where he's
probably.
either going to be somebody we know or somebody we've never met. And so if it's somebody we've never met, why does his identity matter to us, right? Who cares if he's an alien from Altar and he's Zordon's son or like he's, you know, some former villain? Like it doesn't matter. Because we don't like it doesn't do anything for us. But if it's like somebody we know, then like if it is like Zach coming back, why can't we know about it? Why is
There's
his identity has to be so mysterious?
one other person I feel like it could have possibly been, and that would have been kind of cool. Considering his connections to Zordon and Alpha, because also this show kind of failed. What if it had been Prince Dax from Masked Rider?
Oh. Oh, that would have been cool.
Because that could have been like something happened with his, Masked Rider, Kamen Rider Black RX suit, and this is like maybe something happened. You know what? Hold on. I got an idea here. So let's say something happened with him in the span of that series off screen, and now he's got to have that suit to kind of like help him out because something happened in the Masked Rider suit and like it's keeping him alive. And like that's the reason why the ruby is so important because then like the forehead ruby too, right? So you could do something with that. And it could be like he's on life support, kind of like Darth Vader or something. And that's why he's so reluctant to take off the mask.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, I'm a previous ally to you, but like, I kind of only met you guys once or twice.
And technically, it wasn't
And
even them.
yeah, it was, those Mighty Morphin guys, and Goyles. But That honestly,
And
and
like, yeah.
honestly, that kind of works for me.
And you could have connected General Havoc with like the bad guys in that crossover or backdoor pilot and like, you know, so that there's like some kind of connection.
What was his name? Dragon or whatever?
Whatever. So yeah,
Yeah.
that actually would have been interesting. And it does sort of like it is a little bit weird about like why we can't know who he is, but I guess ultimately it doesn't matter because he is an ally to the Rangers, no matter how we awkwardly he's written sometimes.
Yeah.
So there's a point where so Cassie escapes and promises to come back for the Phantom Ranger. And then there's like a Zord battle where we have the rescue Zords, which can turn into individual mini Zords and then also combine, which because robots that turn into other things and then into the Megazord are cool.
Like combiner robots almost.
Yeah. And so there's a part where Havoc like waves the little cage with the Phantom Ranger, like, ooh, look what I got. And I'm like, did you think they weren't going to attack you because you had him there? Like for a guy who's like really calculating and has like these like pretty decent destroy the ring, like he's had like legitimate success and really sticking it to the Rangers, this is kind of foolish. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, thinking that that's gonna protect you from like, the ass whooping that you're about to get, it's like, probably not your smartest move. I could definitely like see Cassie being more reluctant to try like to try and attack because, oh no, I don't want to harm the fan, I don't want to harm the Phantom Ranger. But like ultimately, that's not going to stop the attacks. And also, by the way, I think what's kind of cool about these is these Zords, it kind of is like the third in a series of us getting, like with the Shogun Megazord and then with the Super Zeo Megazord, like everybody getting their own individual, like, bipedal, like robot, I think that's pretty cool. I love that they were doing that. And I don't know why they stopped doing that in Japan, but, I think it looks really cool and it offers like a cooler way to like do Zord battles. And it's a shame that we haven't gotten that much recently. And like, it's not just Power Rangers, like in Sentai, like they really haven't been doing that much. Like, I think with Zenkaiger, they might have done that a little bit, but like, it's an idea that's like unfortunately kind of stuck in the 90s, which sucks because it looks cool. But no, I don't think, it would have stopped the Rangers from like dangling him and being like, ooh, yeah, that's no, that's what are
If
you
anything,
doing?
that made it easier to rescue him, as we see later in the up, like 2 seconds later. So General Havoc's is defeated but not d destroyed, because we can't say the K word, because those are the kids show people.
People don't die in Power Rangers, they just get really big boo-boos.
Yes. So the Phantom Ranger sort of stumbles. He doesn't have the ruby anymore, and that seems to have hurt him. So we see him stumbling back in that tunnel. So is he now powerless without? I know there's one more episode that you are not reviewing with me. So I guess for me this is like what's like I'm left with questions of like, oh my God, is the Phantom Ranger okay? What's gonna happen to him now?
Find out next time on Voices from the Grid. Sorry, I had to do that.
No, that
But
was well done. That was well done.
thank you. But so it definitely seems like that's like his power source. And just for the sake of like not spoiling it and like letting you guys who are listening now, kind of lead into like, kind of whet your appetite for the next episode. Well, I don't know. Maybe it will be the end of the Phantom Ranger. I don't know. But it definitely seems like, to get serious about it, it definitely seems like that's a really big power source of his. And he's definitely stunted without it. And I don't know exactly what his play is going back into the sewer at this point. Like, I guess maybe he, because
Maybe
The
he
first
lived
thing,
down there with the Ninja Turtles.
yeah, Splinter's gonna get him a nice pizza and wrap him up. It'll be okay. And wrap him up in a nice blanket and put on the, Channel 3 news. April's coming on. It'll be okay. Now I think like, but part of me was like, well, I mean, like that's his power source, but like, I don't know. Does he have like a backup auxiliary thing in the ship? And like, I'm being serious. Like, does he have a backup power source? Or like, what's he trying to do? Because like, it seems like I guess he's kind of like a wounded animal at this point, where he's trying to get back and like isolate or whatever. But like, the smart thing wouldn't be to like run away from the people who are trying to help you.
Because like it's not like the Power Rangers don't have like a base with like things and computers and sciencey stuff they can do.
It's not like they have a center where they can like issue commands or something, like a command center.
I don't know what that is.
No?
No, never heard of it.
Apparently it was in an episode of Star Trek where Data was like with lore or something. I don't remember.
Well,
Anyways.
that would make sense.
Yeah.
So my final question out of these three episodes is, was General Havoc overall a good villain?
As far as the context of these episodes, yes, he was a great villain. He came in, he did what he set out to do. He set clear established goals. He went above and beyond. He took out a Megazord. He got, he got the Rangers on their toes. He kidnapped Cassie. He kidnapped freaking, the Phantom Ranger. He got his Ruby. And now it's like, okay, what's gonna happen next? Like, Havoc is a great name for him because that's what he did. He wreaked havoc.
Yeah,
He
definitely.
gave the Rangers probably their biggest L since the command center blew up.
And actually, is this the first big L for this team of Rangers?
Yes.
Is it
I
really?
want to say it is. I want to say it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. Or at the
Because
very
these
least,
guys have
it's the
not been around that
biggest.
long.
Yeah, at the very least, it's like the biggest L, because so far they've done pretty well destroying the monsters of the week kind of stuff with a little help from the Phantom Ranger. But to lose a Megazord is a big deal. And like, we made fun of the acting at the end of One Last Hope, or was it One Last Hope?
I think it was Darkest Day.
In the darkest day, of like, them being, but like you can tell they're actually like really devastated. And TJ, who we know is like a really analytical person, is like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done more. Like it's like he can't, like he's blaming himself. And I'm like, bro, this was not on anybody. This was inevitable. But you can tell that like they're really like crushed by this loss.
Yeah. It's a big one, and spoilers, it's a sign of things to come, I think. I'm gonna leave it at that, but like,
It
man,
does seem like this is foreshadowing the. Okay, so I'm not crazy because I also had the thought that this was foreshadowing the end of the season.
yes.
Because you
It
have
it's
a space base. Diva Tox has gotten all of these upgrades. She's gonna conquer. The Rangers lose their Zord. Like, this is no bueno.
yeah, no bueno, no mas. And it definitely feels like this is like kind of, because to me it's like, it's storytelling 101, where it's like, the heroes are at their lowest and then they have to like rise above that and come back. And it's like, it feels like this is like their begin into that descent, where like, oh, and they're just going to keep nosediving at a certain point where like, yeah, they're going to pull out some victories, but inevitably, like, this season is gonna be like, you guys stay tuned for that. Anybody who's seen this season before, you already know what I'm talking about, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody who's watching along with us. I do have one thing for you.
Uh-oh.
You told me to bring up the Vulcan skull gag from the beginning of the episode.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. So Balkan Skull shtick, and this is the first time they've really had a long-standing shtick in a while. So this time they are running this Lieutenant Stone's Power Ranger business. And one of the things that's funny and is consistent throughout all three episodes is not just the fact that they're giving tours and referencing monsters and stuff. It's the fact that they never bothered to change the brochure, which states that you will see Power Rangers and monsters. I just thought it was a funny gag that this is like consistent throughout the three episodes. And also, like, there's a point where Bulk and Skull at ask TJ and Ashley and the gang if they would dress up as Power Rangers in those really weird looking suits. And then who did they end up using for those suits instead?
I didn't catch that. I'm gonna be honest, I did not catch that.
I'm guessing it was people from the Angel Grove nursing home. Instead of like, you know, going back to high school and finding a bunch of teenagers with attitude and just like hiring them. Oh, Bulk and Skull, we love you. They're doing their best. They're doing their best. But I do find it like, I don't know, it was just an interesting sort of like, A, the fact that they stuck with it for three episodes. But it's also like it's something that's in the in their wheelhouse, which again also sort of hints at what they're going to be doing next season, I feel like, just a little bit.
Probably, yeah. I can see that. Now I will say, what would have been a little more fun to, and you only have so much, and like I'm gonna try not to, go at length of this. And by the way, I do want to mention, I thought it was hilarious that Bulk was holding up the blue suit that he made and was talking to Justin and was like, sorry, kiddo, you're a little too short for this one. And it's like, wow. Irony of all ironies, huh? But I don't know. I think it's with this particular gig, if you could go back and rewrite this just at the point that they're at in their journey before, obviously like in space and they have their big moment, which, I'm not going to get into that right now. We will get to that when we get to that. I cannot wait to talk about that. But here they are giving a tour, which, by the way, like I said, you can absolutely go on something like this at Power Morphicon. They will drive you around. You can see a lot of the same spots that they're showing these people in this episode. But I would think like Bulk and Skull would have like firsthand experience with like, oh yeah, we've seen it all. We've seen putties, we've seen Z putties, we've seen Tengu, we've seen Cogs, we've seen all this stuff, we've seen all these different monsters. We've been fishing where like, at this lake, and all of a sudden there was, this crazy thing that came out of the water and scared the bejesus out of us.
Which time?
Right? You know what I mean? They can have a that's the thing. They have a list. They have like at length a list of encounters and experiences with the Mighty Morphin Rangers, the Zeo Rangers, all this different stuff that's happened. And like I'm just imagining, oh God, what's his name? I can't I oh, my friend's gonna kill me for this, but I can't remember what the guy's name is at the end of like Blade Runner, but he's sitting there just like, I've seen things you people won't believe. I've seen Z beams, like that could have been their moment. That could have been their like Rutger Hauer moment, kind of sort of where they're like, yeah, we've seen things that like you wouldn't believe because like we've been in the sticks with this. And instead it's like they're just kind of, I don't know, it feels like there could have been more with it. I feel like it's a very big missed opportunity. They could have really, this could have been a love letter to like the past like four seasons.
You're asking a lot here from a side plot. Just laying that down for you now.
I know I am. I know I'm asking a lot, but like
One of the things that I sort of wonder is each season Bulk and Skull had a separate shtick. And then it sort of culminates into what we see in the Countdown to Destruction. But the question is like, how much of that was intentional and how much of just was just coincidental? So that's something to, I guess, ask Judd Lynn and a whole bunch of other people. But ultimately, I think it would have been, if I were to rewrite this side plot, I think it would have been interesting if it was a little bit like more like a real tour, with like maybe placards and, you know, some of the ruins of like, you know, here's where the monster from last week destroyed the thing. And you know, Angel Grove is still being rebuilt. And maybe that's sort of like at the end of, I know this is asking a lot from these like three filler episodes, essentially. Well, they're not really filler because they're, you know, adding stuff that happens later. But if it would have been like, hey, Bulk, hey, Skull, like maybe we should think about like, you know, maybe joining the reconstruction crew or like, you know, helping with, you know, crowd control during monster attacks. But then again, they're still scared of monsters, so maybe that's not something they're going to think about.
They could have done something like, I don't know, just something throwaway where like there's like a photo or something. Like at they could have like redone like a mock-up of the port where the Dragonzord comes out of, and they could have been like for a while. I don't know if you guys remember this. But the Green Ranger used to come out, and like this is where this right here is where the Dragonzord used to come out. And some people say it lays dormant to this day. You know, they could have done something like that. You know what I mean? It's like, because technically, like the Dragonzord is still kind of laying dormant. It didn't go away during the Thunderzord thing. It like, you know, that wasn't one of the Zords that was destroyed in season two. So they could have done something with that. I don't know, but you know,
That is the questions that will not be never be answered, at least not
yeah.
for a while. So with that, Brian, I will ask you this only once. Where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter. I refuse to call it X, at One Drunk Geek. You can also find me with the Castwave guys over at castwavestudios.com. Currently, our show is Two Fat Guys Eat that we're working on. We are working on, just give you a little inside baseball, we are kind of pitching around possibly bringing back Bully Going Nowhere. That should be fun. You can also find me on Instagram at Draken22 and on TikTok at BlueRangerB_RYE. Where I interact with a lot of other Ranger fans on TikTok and make silly videos, and I, you know, talk about Power Rangers and Super Sentai and Kamen Rider and all kinds of other stuff. How about you? Where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Oh, I'm very complicated. I am at Geeky Kaplan on everything, literally everything, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky. I am on
Awesome.
there. It is Geeky Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan. As you can see, my voice held out pretty long. I did a good job, but it's starting to
I'm
set
proud of
in.
you.
And of course, you can find our show on Spotify. TXHTHockey.com and on Twitter at VFTG underscore PR. So with that, Brian, take us out.
Thank you all for joining us for yet another more phenomenal episode. Be sure to follow us, and until next time, be sure to grab your turbo morphers and your turbo keys.
And may the power protect you.